In these later days of the Easter season, our Gospels at Sunday Mass bring us back to the night of the Last Supper. They bring us back to Holy Thursday. Remember that Jesus gathers with his apostles and he celebrates the Passover meal with them. He institutes the Eucharist, the memorial of his body and blood. He washes the feet of his apostles in a sign of humble service. And then he sits with them and speaks to them like a friend speaking with his friends. Jesus, fully aware of what's going to happen to him over the next 3 days, his passion, his death and resurrection, and how that is going to affect his friends. So these words that he speaks are so important, and they're important to us as well as his disciples. He says, "Peace, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." He tells us not to be afraid or let our hearts be troubled. Thinking of all that would happen to him over the next 3 days, this gift of peace doesn't seem like it fits. Certainly the next days are not going to be peaceful for anyone. But Jesus says specifically, the peace that I give is not as the world gives it. So what do we usually think about when we think about peace? We tend to think about the absence of something. So if we say that our nation is at peace, we think that that means that that is an absence of war. We're not actively fighting any battles anywhere over the world. So we say we are at peace. If we think about in our own lives, we might find a sense of peace when we don't have any troubles or worries. Everything's okay at work, at home, at school. And that might give us a sense of peace. Maybe we don't very frequently have a sense of peace because there always seems to be something going on in our lives that we're dealing with. So we're feeling that lack of a sense of peace in our lives. But Jesus says, again, the peace that I give to you is not this peace. The peace Jesus gives is not the absence of something, but rather it's the presence of someone. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, whom Jesus calls the Advocate. He says that the Father and he will send us the Advocate. What's an advocate? Someone who pleads our cause. Someone who is there to help us, assist us. The Holy Spirit is our helper in every need. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us always. We are given a gift of God's Holy Spirit at our baptisms. We are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we receive another outpouring of the Holy Spirit at our confirmation to complete that baptismal anointing. We are given God's Holy Spirit to be our advocate so that we can have peace no matter what is going on around us. So we have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as the forgotten member of the Holy Trinity. Those of you of a certain age may remember when he used to be called the Holy Ghost. And then in the 1960s, he went through a brand change and he became the Holy Spirit. What's up with that? How did that happen? We might think of the Holy Spirit as sort of belonging to Protestant churches because they seem to speak about him all the time. And we don't really speak about the Holy Spirit. So who is this Holy Spirit and how is he active? He's active certainly in the larger church. He's active in our parish, and he's active in us as disciples. So where do we see the actions of the Holy Spirit? Yesterday morning at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen, the Archbishop ordained 9 new transitional deacons. A transitional deacon is a seminarian who will eventually become a priest. You may remember Ron Howard, who was here as a seminarian on his pastoral year. He became a deacon yesterday morning. So that ordination to the sacrament of holy orders is a powerful sign of the Holy Spirit at work, because those 9 men walked out of that cathedral yesterday morning different than when they walked in, because of the calling down of the Holy Spirit and the sacramental rite and the prayers that were offered. The Holy Spirit has changed them and empowered them to preach the gospel and baptize and marry and teach and do all the things that deacons do. We have actions of the Holy Spirit, signs of the Holy Spirit at every Mass we attend. In the liturgy of the Eucharist, I'll put my hands out over the bread and the wine. That calling down, that gesture is a sign of the calling down of the Spirit, the laying on of hands. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that the miracle of transubstantiation takes place here on this altar at every Mass. That is a powerful action of the Holy Spirit that we see all the time and we may not even realize is happening. In each of our lives, as I said, we have been given a gift of the Holy Spirit to use. In the sacrament of confirmation, we call those the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This past week, we interviewed all of the young people who are going to receive the sacrament of confirmation in a few more weeks. And as we sit down and talk to them in the course of the conversation, we always ask them if they could name for us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You should see some of the expressions that come over their faces, sort of like deer stuck in the headlights, you know. I'm not going to ask us, but, you know, how many of us could name the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. If we've received those gifts in our confirmation, when's the last time we used them? When's the last time we actively called on the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of wisdom in some situation that we can't see our way through? When have we asked for the gift, for Him to unwrap the gift of fortitude when we need to be strengthened in some trial? All of these gifts are given to us, and the Spirit is waiting to unwrap them in each of our lives so that He can act in a powerful way, so that He can be our peace even when things seem to be swirling all around us. Because that's why we can have the gift of peace even with all of the things that we juggle in our daily lives. That's why Jesus said to the apostles that His gift is peace in the midst of what was going to happen over the next few days. And in this month of May, I can think of no greater example of this than our Blessed Mother Mary. She who kept the peace of the Spirit despite tremendous difficulties. Every time we come into this church, we have the opportunity to look at this beautiful icon in the center of the sanctuary. And one of the things that always strikes me about this icon is how the artist depicted the Blessed Mother. When you look at her face, you can clearly see the face of sorrow, of Our Lady of Sorrows, someone who is suffering tremendously at that moment, watching what's happening to her son. But when you look at that face, you also see, I think, peace. Notice Mary is never depicted at the foot of the cross as crying. She always has that sense of peace despite her sorrows. I wonder if that particular moment she remembered back to the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel said that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and that God was going to do great things through her. And that Spirit reminded her of that in that particular moment. So Our Lady of Sorrows reminds us that we have to live by the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, and that we can indeed find peace, even though things may not seem particularly peaceful. That we can have peace right here and right now and not look to it as some event in the future, that maybe if somehow I can erase every challenge in my life, then I will find peace. That's not what God wants for you. He wants you to have peace right here and right now. My friends, we find many things in our lives that trouble us. Many things maybe that we are afraid of. Yet Jesus has given us the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be our helper always. He is our true peace. And he is the presence of someone in our lives. That someone is God's Holy Spirit, who is with us always.